A very good morning on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Sukkah Chaf, Sukkah 20b, pagination page 40. Towards the bottom of the page, we start a new perek at the Mishnah. Hayoshin tachas hamita besukkah, a person who sleeps under a bed in a sukkah, lo yotza yidei chavaso, has not fulfilled his obligation because he is supposed to be in the sukkah, and that's supposed to be the tent, the covering that's above him. And instead, in the words of Rashi, ohel mafsik beino lesukkah, a tent, a covering, is separating between him and the sukkah, and he's underneath the bed and not underneath the sukkah. Now, the Gemara, if you drop down quickly to six lines counting up from the bottom, Tirguma Shmuel explained the case is Bemita Asora, with a bed that's 10 tfachim high. Because we have a rule that, similar to Sukkah itself, that the area enclosed by the cover has to be 10 tfachim high in order to be considered an area, in order to be considered an ohel. And therefore, this bed is actually a tallish bed. It has an area underneath it that you could have like a clubhouse, where the person is going in there inside the sukkah, but he's underneath the bed, and it's 10 tfachim high, approximately 40 inches, and therefore he's underneath the bed and not underneath the sukkah. What would happen if he was dealing with a bed that's much shorter than 40 tfachim, than 40 inches, 10 tfachim? Or similarly, if you have a table in a sukkah that's definitively less than 10 tfachim, you go and measure it and it's 30 inches, are you allowed to lay underneath that in the sukkah and consider that inside the sukkah? And the halachic answer actually is that yes, you're considered in the sukkah, and this Mishnah with its Gemara is telling us that underneath an area that's not 10 tefachim high in airspace is not going to interfere with your status of being in the sukkah, although many feel that it takes away from the authenticity of the experience. But if, for example, a person is not comfortable sleeping in the sukkah because he's afraid it's going to rain on him and very uncomfortable to be woken up like that, he might choose to place the tables in such a way that he can put a mattress underneath them and actually sleep underneath the tables if that works better for him, as long as he's checked the measurements so that he's not underneath something that has 10 tefachim of airspace underneath. Now, the Mishnah tells us that there's a dissenting opinion. Omar Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda says, Noagim Ayinu, we had the custom, she'ayinu yeshenim tachas hamita b'fnei hazakenim, v'lo omru lanu davar. We would sleep underneath the bed in front of the elders, and they never objected. What is this opinion of Rabbi Yehuda based on? So the Gemara on the next daf, just about in middle of the page, tells us, Amud Beis, Chaf Aleph, Rabbi Yehuda is following his reasoning. The Omar Sukkas Dira Keva Ba'inon, a sukkah is supposed to be a Diras Keva, a permanent dwelling. And you'll remember the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda in the beginning of the Masechta, that he allowed the sukkah to be more than 20 amos high, because he holds that's fine. Permanent is correct by sukkah. So the area underneath the bed is like a temporary type of covering. V'sukkah oel keva, and the sukkah is like a house. V'lo osi oel arai umavatal oel keva, and the temporary bed underneath the bed is not going to undo the fact that you're in the sukkah. And that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who we encounter a number of times. Rabbi Yehuda held in Sukkah that it's supposed to be more permanent, and it's viewed more permanent, and it's okay to be permanent, whereas we hold Diras Arai. And therefore, we paskin that if the area underneath the bed was 10 tefachim, it would interfere with your being in the Sukkah. And Rabbi Yehuda says it does not interfere because the Sukkah is so more dramatic and so much more permanent than underneath the bed that he holds underneath the bed is not a problem, and we do not paskin like that. Amar Rab Shimon said, Maisa b'tavi avdo shel Rabban Gamliel. There was a story with Tavi, the servant of Rabban Gamliel. He was a slave, as in a non-Jewish slave that becomes partially Jewish through Mila and Tevila, to the point that he has the same mitzvahs as a woman. So a woman is absolved of sukkah as a mitzvah. She can do it voluntarily, but she's absolved of the mitzvah. So this Tavi is also absolved of the mitzvah of sukkah. Shehaya yoshen tachas hamita. So he used to sleep underneath the bed. Va'amal and Rabban Gamliel lizikenim, and Rabban Gamliel said to the elders, Re'isim Tavi Avdi, he was very proud. You see, Tavi, Shu Talmud Chacham, he's a scholar. V'yodea she'avad b'turim min asukah, he knows that he's absolved. L'fikach yashinu tachas hamita, and therefore he sleeps under the bed. That was the comment of Rabban Gamliel, and the Mishnah concludes, L'fi darkenu lamadnu, and according to our way, meaning we're paying attention, we can infer something from what he said, that a person who's underneath the bed, as the Gemara tells us, of 10 tefachim high, did not fulfill his obligation, and that was the uniqueness of this Tavi, understanding that he was absolved, and he's allowed to be underneath the bed. Tosfos wonders, it's not Tosfos Kasha, but Tosfos brings the Kasha. Why exactly did he go underneath the bed? Why didn't he try to be Mekayim the mitzvah correctly, voluntarily? And at the end of Tosfos Re'isem, Tosfos gives the answer, Shalalitchuk es chachamim shayu yishenim besukkah. He realized that there wasn't enough place. So he wanted to be there in the sukkah, but he didn't want to make it inconvenient for other people. There wasn't enough room. And the Gemara says, Uparach ishalolitchok es chachamim. Why didn't he go out of the sukkah? Umeshani. And the answer, the last words of this Tosfos is, Derotza hayolishma divrei chachamim. He wanted to be there to overhear the conversation of the chachamim. So he wanted to be there, but he didn't want to inconvenience them. So he climbed underneath the bed in a place where no one else would be able to go so that he wouldn't inconvenience them. It's a place that they anyway couldn't use for themselves. Let's turn the page for a moment, and there's a phenomenal insight over here from the last words of the Mishnah. The Mishnah, as Rashi is telling us, was really like a bidichusa ba'alma. Rabbi Gamliel made a comment very offhand. He said, you know, Tevi, he's a scholar, and he knows that he's allowed to be under the bed, unlike everybody else. On Amud Beis of Chaf Aleph, the next staff, pagination 42, just below middle of the page, in the middle of a line, there's a two dots. Amar Rab Shimon Masa B'Tavei Avdo, Tanya, we learned. Amar Rab Shimon said, Misichoso Shel Rabban Gamliel Lamadnu Shnei Dvarim. From the comment, the casual comment of Rabban Gamliel, we learned two great things. Lamadnu She'avodim Peturim Min HaSukkah, we learned that slaves are not obligated in Sukkah. And we learned that a person underneath a bed is not fulfilling his obligation of sukkah. Why didn't you say from the words of Rabbi Gamliel? Why did you say misichaso, the casual speech, which is really a takeoff of the Mishnah, lefi darkenu lamadnu. that it's not a straight statement of Rami Gamliel. Milsa gavurche kamashmalan, we're trying to point out the greatness of what happened here. Kihada amar avacha bar ada ve'amril amar avacha bar ada amar rav hamnuna amar rav. There's a statement from the Talmudic sages, minayin sha'afilu sichas tamidei chachamim tzricha limud. How do you know that the casual speech of tamidei chachamim also needs to be paid attention to, because there's what to learn, that a Talmud Chacham, the standards of a Talmud Chacham is he's a living Torah. He's constantly, even on casual topics, he's calculated in the ways of Torah. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, V'alehu lo yibol, even the leaves, even the extras of the tree, not the fruit itself. Of course the fruit itself is precious. But even the leaves, when we make an analogy of a Talmud Chacham to a tree, even the leaves don't wither. They have value and should be treasured. And that's what we see over here, that Rabbi Gamliel, not in the middle of his shir, but even in casual speech, was talking things that benefited us by way of greatness to appreciate the impact of what he was saying, two halachas that could be learnt. And this is one of the reasons that we talk about a person not only being a Talmudic scholar in and of himself, that he studied and he knows the text, etc., but shimush talmidei chachamim, to hang out with talmidei chachamim, to hear the casual stories and their perspectives, because that too has plenty to be learned from. Yeshe koach, have a wonderful day.